Mountain Rose, take me home to the place I belong. Colorado, see the rapids, take me home.
February 6th, 2018. My name is Matt Pollard, and this is Holding the High Line with Rabbi in Red. Mark Goodman, how are you doing today?
I'm good, Red. What's going on? So Red is in Columbus, staying at a luxury hotel.
I wouldn't say that it's a luxury hotel. It's the downtown Hilton. I'm here for work. I am not here, unfortunately, listeners, to hashtag save the crew, though I am doing everything that I can to help out the cause while being here in Columbus, but that's not why I'm here. Mark, you are fascinated with my hotel room and the ceiling. Do you want to tell our listeners why?
So we're on Skype, which, you know, you can see each other, which is great. Modern technology is amazing. And Matt's got, like, a box over his head with, like, fishes, I think. And I was like, what is that? And he's like, I mean, it looked like a stained glass window, kind of. He's like, no, it's a fabric painting. The carpet is ugly. There's nothing on the walls. And yet he has this really nice fabric tapestry hanging on the ceiling. Next week, we'll start a podcast called Random Things in Local Hiltons. But I mean, this is like, I don't understand. I mean, you know, podcast listeners, I would love to hear when you guys hear this, text me or tweet me. How many times have you stayed in a hotel where they decorated the ceilings, but not the walls? That's very random, right?
Yes, I think we've spent a minute on this now. I think we have to tweet this out from the account. He said before he got the podcast back on order.
I can talk anything for hours on end, and clearly we shouldn't do that.
Okay, Mark, so we are talking on Tuesday evening. We are 2 weeks out from the Rapids having their first significant competitive game in 2018. They'll obviously be hosting Toronto FC in CONCACAF Champions League, and then a couple weeks later, maybe I think 10 days later if my calendar math is right, they will open up the MLS season. And as it stands right now, Mark, they have 25 of 30 roster spots taken up based on my guesstimations from where we are in terms of salaries for last year players and new players coming in. They're pretty darn close to filling out that senior roster spot. MLS does a really good job of having flexibility for the supplemental and the reserve players that allow them to move homegrowns around. So, you know, a Courtney Ford or a Dylan Cerner could potentially get moved to one of those if they wanted to sign another player. But right now, Mark, they've got five other spots to work with. They've got a couple trialists. They've got a couple draft picks. What do we see them doing? Where are some of the holes the Rapids have right now that they could fill out to complete their roster for the start of 2018?
Great question, Matt. So there's 25 players who are officially signed to contract for the Colorado Rapids. Amongst those 25 players, we're including three players who seem to be, maybe even four or five, who seem to be maybes for the permanent 2018 roster. So those maybes that I'm counting are Caleb Calvert, Ricardo Perez, Sam Hamilton, Mike DeFont. Those are maybes. Caleb Calvert was expected to be playing a full season in Charlotte. So I'm just going to leave that alone and assume that he probably is not going to be on an 18-man roster for the Rapids unless there are a bunch of injuries. You've got Ricky Perez and Sam Hamilton. Perez is a homegrown, so adding him to the roster gives you a lot of roster flexibility and financial flexibility, but also he's a very good number 10 that you'd rather not sit on the bench for a whole nother year if you can avoid it. So he's a kind of an open question. I think he has potential to be the backup number 10 on a regular basis, but who knows? Another kind of fairly strongly said thing was that Mike DeFont is not expected to be with the Rapids at all in 2018. He's expected to be out on loan. My assumption with that is that the Rapids signed him from the USL team Sacramento last year on either a one-year deal or a two-year deal. And if it was a one-year deal, it was like a wink and a nod deal where they didn't want to screw him over by moving him across the country and then not necessarily keeping him for more than a year. So my assumption is that DeFont's going to be out on loan for the year. We'll never hear from him again. And maybe if he plays really, really well, they can actually sell him. I think that's unlikely. Sam Hamilton is kind of still raw. He projects, or when I saw him play last year in very limited opportunities, he looks a lot like Michael Azira. He's a kill first, intercept first, ask questions later defensive midfielder. He needs more tools on his toolkit before he can become fairly useful to the Rapids. And that kind of fills out the basics. Oh, and the last one is Declan Wynn. Declan Wynn's big problem, as we were discussing before we started the pod, is the Rapids have 7 international spots, and they have 9 international players, including Declan Wynn, who's a New Zealander. So either he needs to get a green card because he played a bunch in college in the United States, or he needs to go out on loan, or the Rapids need to buy an international spot. And he's not generally considered a highly sought-after player, a highly talented player yet. So that realistically, Matt, drops us down to like 20, 21, maybe 22 roster spots once you subtract a couple of those guys. That means that the team needs to fill it out. I'll let you jump in right now, but I just want to add one last detail, which is in 2017, the Rapids filled 26 roster spots. They went to battle in March with 26 players. In 2016, they went to battle with 23 players. So it's possible for them to just kind of fill out 22, 23 guys to start the month. But there's still a lot of open questions. Matt, what do you think of all the things I just said, and where do you see some roster spots being filled or not being filled?
First of all, I'll echo your point that I think right now with the roster as it is, even with some of the questions marks, I think the Rapids right now have 20 contributing. They have a spot and a role to play on an MLS team trying to be competitive players. I think they for sure have 20 of those. I'm really curious to see just with what they do with the likes of a Sam Hamilton or Richie Perez in terms of their role. You know, I think we talk a lot about this with youth development and with young players coming to the league, especially those who spend 4 years in college. You know, is it better for them to be training, you know, all day, every single day with first team players, or is it better for them to actually be playing in competitive games? So, you know, I look at a guy like Sam Hamilton, for example, who I'm sure last year, for the brief interactions he had, Sam Cronin was a very good impact on him. You know, are we essentially pawning him off as, you know, crudely a shadowing unpaid intern to Michael Azira for the 2018 season, or would it be better for him to go to Charlotte or some other USL team where he'd be playing 90 minutes day in and day out? I think that's a really good question. I have that about a few of the others. Just looking on the roster right now, Mark, based on the 25 that we have officially signed right now, based on position on the Rapids website, they have 2 goalies, Zach McMath and Tim Howard. For defenders and midfielders, they have 9.5 of each. That half is Jared Watts being listed as a midfielder and a defender. And that is also split elsewhere because a couple of other players are listed as hybrids and only 4 forwards. So I definitely think that there's a possibility, whether it's Nicky Jackson, whether it's somebody else potentially, that the Rapids could add a 5th forward or try and do something with that. Or maybe that just means that Caleb Calvert is with the Rapids full time this season rather than going out on loan, as you mentioned. I guess the only other thing that I want to bring out in that, Mark, that I kind of have a question for you, because, you know, the MLS roster rules are as clear as mud. Jaime Siaj, 2017 super draft pick for the Colorado Rapids, was on a USL contract with Charlotte Independence in 2017, was signed by Oklahoma City Energy FC, who obviously now their head coach and technical director is former Rapids assistant Steve Cook. I don't know what the rules and what the precedent is for an MLS draft pick being signed to a USL club that has an affiliation with that MLS team, thus allowing that MLS team that drafted him to maintain his MLS rights. What that happens when that contract is voided and he signs with another USL team that has another affiliation with a different MLS team. Do you have any understanding of that? Do we know what the status as far as Jaime Siaj's MLS rights are concerned?
That's a good question. I was under the assumption last year that he was quietly released by the Rapids, for one, because I never saw him on a roster as a loan. I always saw him as a player for Charlotte. And the reality was the Rapids were full up on international players, And that kind of like tweener last international guy who holding a spot was Dennis Castillo, who was Costa Rican. It seemed like Siage was like at the back of the line when it came to getting an international roster slot. So my assumption was the Rapids had kind of dropped him, given him to Charlotte, and crossed their fingers that he would be amazing. And if he was amazing, then they could re-sign him again. So it's kind of like a little bit of roster trickery. That was my assumption. And I guess he either didn't pan out, or there's a bit of a continued wink and a nod going on, where they send him to Oklahoma, where he goes with Steve Cook, and if he has a breakout amazing season, Steve calls up somebody on the Rapids technical staff and says, Jamie's ready. And he comes up. I don't know. I think that's unlikely. I think he projects as a USL guy, but we'll see. To kind of conclude the discussion, so a piece I wrote this week for Burgundy Wave, after a really long interview, really good conversation with Ryan Crookham, who is the senior, I always forget his title, it's one of those really long involved titles, but I mean, he's basically the guru of everybody under 23 for the Rapids. Senior Academy Development Director. So Brian Crookham really had a lot to say about Enzo Martinez, who's a 27-year-old midfielder, really creative mid. He's kind of a, Brian called him like a 10 who can play like an 8, but you can put him at the 6. And there's a lot of love for Enzo Martinez. He had 13 goals and 5 assists last year. If you counted MLS assists, the folks in Charlotte would say he kind of drove the whole engine of the midfield for them. And they're very, very high on him. The way it was discussed to me, it feels like Enzo Martinez is an absolute lock for the roster. Like he is the 23rd or 24th guy on that roster for sure. And he sounds and looks, in what I've seen and heard, like a very like-for-like replacement for Mohamed Saeed. And the Rapids were bummed to lose Mohamed Saeed. He provides a lot of deep-lying service. He's calm on the ball. That's one of the things that Crookham said to me. He's capable of slowing the game down. He can get the ball at his feet and pick out the right pass. And I think in a 5-3-2, that's going to be very valuable.
I completely agree with you, Mark. Let's end this topic maybe by doing a hot take prediction on what we think as far as roster positions are concerned. So again, Rapids right now, 25 players signed for 2018, 4 forwards, 9.5 mids, 9.5 Ds, 2 goalkeepers. Do we think that that number will either increase or decrease? And how do we think that movement goes out? I'll go first since I asked the question, Mark, and I was thinking about this. I think the Rapids will probably be either at 23 or 24, not far away from where they've been the last two seasons. They definitely need to sign a third goalkeeper. They need to have that on the roster just out as a formality, you know, whether that's Olsen out of UCLA or somebody else. You know, I know you wrote a piece, I can't remember the name of the Academy goalkeeper who you talked about in that one. And then I think, you know, after that, I think we'll see either a net negative 1 to a net negative 3 in terms of signings and either guys being moved out on loan. I think that first week that the Rapids are starting in MLS at actual training, guys who are signed, they will have between 23 and 25 players competing in training going into the start of the 2018 season.
Yeah, Olsen hasn't gotten a start in either of the two Rapids scrimmages that they've had. He hasn't gotten any minutes. That's concerning for me. Either they stash him in Charlotte, or they have already seen enough to know that he's not the real deal, and they assume that the Academy guy, Kainoa likewise, is going to be the guy. The real question is whether Alan Wynn or Nicky Jackson can stick with the roster as this season's, you know, deep round pick. You know, you might think like third and fourth rounders have no hope in MLS, and you'd be right 95% of the time, and then 5% of the time you get either Dom Badgie or Chris Wondolowski. So I guess my Hail Mary pick is that Nicky Jackson sticks with the roster and starts with Charlotte and gets 5 to 10 games with the Rapids by the end of the year. It's a Hail Mary, but He's a big, physical, fast, talented player that nobody else in MLS saw much of. And maybe he's the guy.
I agree with you. That will be something to watch, certainly in the next couple of weeks. And then if he's still with the team, you know, certainly in the months going into the start of the season. Let's move on to the next thing. They only have four forwards officially signed to the roster. That is Dominic Baggi, who we previously mentioned, Caleb Calvert, and Jack McBean. And then that four, the Rapids have both Stefan Eigner and Skelton Gashi listed as midfielders forwards. So the big spot that they have right now in terms of not having 1-2 depth is really in that. We kind of talked about that a little bit earlier, Mark, and in both, I think, my and your general perusings of the Rapids social media, internet, personalities and the people, I think the general sense is overall good offseason in terms of all the additions they made. They made all the improvements. The one thing that they haven't really touched is forward. We're going to talk about this in a little bit when I get into some TAM capology. The Rapids have two DP spots. In theory, they've got, you know, some TAM left over. They've got a whole bunch of discretionary TAM that they probably haven't even touched. And their biggest roster spot in terms of number of positions they have is forward. And their biggest issue last year was scoring goals. Are we concerned? You know, panic or patience on this front?
I wish we had two other people on our podcast so we could go around and do like a roundtable, pardon the interruption style. Panic or patience? I think panic. I mean, like, I gotta be honest. Everybody I know thought the Rapids were going to spend the offseason getting either a number 10 or a number 9, a creative attacking midfielder or a striker. And it seems like the team said, ha ha, fooled you. That's a Spaceballs reference. So it feels like the Rapids are supposed to go out and get a number 9, and they didn't. And the even money is that they're going to make that change mid-season. After one of two things has happened. Number one, the season is tanked and we're screwed and there's nothing but 2019 to look forward to. Or option B, which is we're still in it and a striker addition will get us over the hump. Those are not terrible ideas, but there's this kind of irrational assumption that MLS GMs seem to make, which is the winter transfer window is very expensive and the summer transfer window is cheaper. And I don't think that's true at all. And the summer transfer window gets all hyped up with the World Cup. So I don't know. I think it's panic time. We are going into 2018. We are not going to get a striker. There are no more additions going to be made to the roster. This team wants to gel going into CCL. They want to get ready for the season. They don't want to add some random guy that wasn't on the list, and they're basically going into the season with Dom Baggi up top and either Gashi or Eigner underneath in a position they've never played before. And I gotta be honest, that makes me nervous. This is a team that did not score a lot of goals last year, did not score a lot of goals the year before. And we actually subtracted a striker and have less attacking firepower. It's nervy. What do you think?
First of all, Mark, I'll agree with you. I think I wouldn't say that the summer transfer window is overrated. I think it is certainly a little bit more expensive. I also think that you've got more options just given that, you know, the European calendar allows for more movement in the summer than it does in the winter. And especially in a World Cup year, you know, maybe, you know, a lot of that'll be people overreacting to the stock that they took from players playing in the World Cup. I don't know that the striker that the Rapids would potentially be looking at would be a significant one playing in the World Cup. If you accumulated all the target allocation money for an entire season this year in MLS, you could afford Cristiano Ronaldo. But I'm going to choose patience, and I'm going to talk you off the ledge here, Mark. And I'm going to do that by referencing a few quotes from Porrick Smith and a few other people. So first of all, Porrick and Hudson have strongly stressed the importance of assembling the roster for the most part prior to January 22nd, which a couple weeks ago was the start of preseason. The only significant signing that they've made post that date officially, I believe, has been Danny Wilson. Jack Price has now joined the team. Tommy Smith has now joined the team. I don't know what the status of where Wilson is geographically speaking, but other than that, everybody's together. And, you know, other than Marlon Hairston, you know, everybody else who I didn't just mention was in there in Commerce City, has been in Arizona as well. So I agree with you. They're trying to let this team gel. They've also made a lot of changes. Yes, forward was the biggest issue they made, but they added Jack Price into the midfield. Nana Boateng and Stefan Aigner are borderline going to be new additions to this team just because they're both going to be fit and healthy for the start of a full season. They've made upgrades at, you know, I guess other than goalkeeper, because they haven't signed another goalkeeper, at literally every single other position, between bringing in Castillo, fitting Marlon Hairston into a better role, bringing in some competition at the center back position as well. Every single other spot on the roster, the Rapids are a little bit better. So if you've got this giant dam that's, you know, holding back water, you know, say like in a rapids, so to speak, and you've got one significant hole and a bunch of other leaks, but you plug up all of the other leaks, collectively you still have a better dam. You just haven't addressed that one thing that, you know, you need to put a big cork in. And just because it's not the biggest hole doesn't mean that it isn't, you know, something worth filling in, so to speak. And then I actually have a quote from a conversation I had with Warwick back in December. The question of which I posed to him was the open DP spot with the Juan Ramirez situation being resolved, and then some freed up target allocation money with the new MLS deal, the new announcement from MLS of the $1.2 million, and then the discretionary TAM that we can get into, and then also Kevin Doyle's retirement that in theory freed up some TAM that they had previously had earmarked or were planning for in 2018. And then I asked him basically, are the Rapids going to be spending some money in January, specifically looking at a forward, as opposed to spending it potentially in the summer? And so this is Porrick Smith, technical director and at the time interim general manager, now full general manager for the Rapids. Quote, "The most important thing is about getting the right player. We won't panic or bring somebody that we feel we need for 6 months rather than bringing someone that we feel we will be good for the club for the long term. We absolutely want to hit the ground running from January 22nd. End quote. So I think the Rapids are definitely going for fit more than they are immediacy. And then even then and there, he says that we're not going to panic. So I don't think that you or anybody else should be panicking on this, because they've addressed all the other problems with the dam, metaphorically speaking, and they've still let themselves up some flexibility for doing something in the summer, assuming something doesn't work out. You know, I still think Stefan Aigner is going to be a beast in 2018. I think, you know, Gashi's come back and, you know, is not quite a bit out of shape like he was going into last year. And look, Don Baji scored 9 goals with very, very poor levels of service. I still think they can get production even if they don't have, you know, a David Villa type. I just think that they're an overall improved team, and especially with that quote, I think they're definitely going for a better fit person. Porrick Smith isn't panicking, and neither should you, Rabbi, when it comes to a striker up top.
That was beautiful. That was a soliloquy of epic proportions, my brother.
Thank you.
I'll add 2 things, and then I'm going to throw a question at you. Thing one is I agree about upgrading at many, many positions, and especially along the back line, which I think is a really good point. Especially Edgar Castillo at left back. If I was a single bullet theory kind of guy in Major League Soccer, if I was going to build a soccer team myself, I would start at 2 positions, defensive midfielder and left back. And those are the 2 key most important positions. And I think the Rapids went out and did that essentially by getting Jack Price and Edgar Castillo. I think Castillo will likely be the linchpin that holds this team together. So that's thing one. I agree with you 100%. Thing number 2 is I think Baji is going to have 14 goals this year, at least. And regardless of how much service he does or does not get, I think he's just on a growth curve, and he's a very talented striker, and teams are still trying to figure out how to stop him, and he's starting to figure out ways to beat people. And my last thing is a question to you. So as much as I want to keep the faith, my holy brother, here's a list of Rapids striker targets that were rumored that they didn't get. And my question, Matt, is going to be to you. Should we worry that this team cannot bring in a guy? So here are the guys that they were linked with over the offseason. Claudiu Căseru from Romania. Ross McCormick. Ian Doyle. Ola Kamara. Roy Krishna, the 30-year-old Fijian striker for an A-League team. Aldo Kalulu out of Ligue 1. Somebody named Johnny Russell that I literally might have just heard of right now. Should we be worried that all of those 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 guys were contacted by the front office and said, no thanks? Or am I being bent out of shape by the Fijian version of the sun and the mirror and all the crappy British tablets.
You're being bent out of shape on this one, Mark. first of all, I'll say, if I'm not mistaken, at least other than the A-League guy, whose name I can't remember, and Ola Kamara, all five of those players were playing in Europe. Again, as previously mentioned, it's easier to get a guy coming to MLS from Europe in the summer. And again, the front office isn't going for somebody for 6 months. They're going for the right fit. And if that means having to wait for them, they're willing to wait. Ola Kamara didn't want to come to the Rapids. Columbus got way more TAM than I think the Rapids were reported to, or at least willing to give up in that trade. So, you know, okay, Ola Kamara, you know, chose where he wanted to go. Columbus chose the better deal from a money standpoint on their end. The Rapids moved on. You know, I don't think that that's necessarily, you know, a bad sign as far as the operations. So no, I don't think that a sample size of 7 with five of them being reported from the Daily Mail are indicative of, you know, the extreme inner workings of Commerce City, Colorado. But speaking of that, Mark, so, you know, the Rapids right now have an open DP spot, and I think that they've got a whole lot of TAM here. I'm looking at my notebook that I went down a beautiful mind-like rabbit hole in trying to figure out how much target allocation money the Rapids have left over in which they could potentially spend in the summer in addition to the designated player spot. And here's what I've come up with. I will write something about this for lastwordonsoccer.com so you can see all my work, and I'd be happy to do a 350-tweet thread to remove all of my work and all of my money and such. So basically,
don't do that. Nobody likes tweet threads. I don't like tweet threads, and I even write them sometimes. Don't do that.
Okay, so for 2018, as it stands right now, the Rapids have at most 5 players that are affecting their TAM budget right now. Stefan Aigner was signed on a free transfer last summer. His prorated salary for a half season in 2017 was $471,000. That's from the MLS Players Association. That was guaranteed compensation. Double that to approximate his 2018 guaranteed compensation, where it's just under $950,000. So, you know, about half of that would have to come in TAM to keep him below the DP threshold, or the Rapids could choose to make him a DP. Jack Price, in the press release, was officially signed with target allocation money. The rules are a little bit ambiguous in terms of laying that out. I've seen a couple reports, mostly out of Europe, saying that there was a transfer fee for Jack Price, but it was an undisclosed fee. A player being signed with target allocation money from an MLS press release standpoint could mean that transfer fee was used on his salary or on his transfer fee, or both. The only thing that we really know with the fact that TAM was used for signing Jack Price is that he will be making at least $150,000 in 2018 guaranteed compensation. I did find a very, very unreliable source that suggested that his market value was $817,000. So potentially a good chunk of change spent on Price either in acquiring him or on his salary, some on Aigner. And the only other two big ones that would really make sense from a profile standpoint would be Tommy Smith and Danny Wilson. In both of those press releases by the Rapids and the league, there was no mention of targeted allocation money. And I found no indication proving either that there was or wasn't a transfer fee. You know, did Tommy Smith come over on a free for Ipswich Town? We don't really know. So those are kind of a question mark, but highly unlikely. The other two, let's assume that TAM was used on both of those, Mark. You know, there's still a probability that the Rapids have about $400,000 in targeted allocation money available, if not more. They could dip into the discretionary TAM if they want to. They could potentially DP one of those two players to, you know, make some room up in the summer. And for those of you who are wondering, players who are not relevant for the Rapids in 2018 as far as TAM is concerned, Nana Boateng, transfer fee was used with target allocation money in January 2017. His 2017 salary was $340,000, not enough to be in TAM as far as his salary is concerned in 2018. Multiple reliable reports on Castillo, including MLSsoccer.com Sam Stasekull. He's on a one-year loan from Monterrey with an option to buy. No TAM used in 2018, will not occupy a DP roster spot. Gashi and Howard are DPs for the Rapids. Their salaries for last year, Gashi $1.7 million, Tim Howard $2.5 million in guaranteed compensation. Both of them are above the threshold to be TAM'd out of being a DP in 2018. So Gashi and Howard are your DPs as long as they're on the roster. banning Don Garber changing the rules whenever he wants to. Some TAM potentially used for Eigner, some TAM definitely used for Price. But like I said, they've got some money to hang over potentially. They could maybe still do something in the summer, but I don't think they will, just given how late it is. And I think that they're lying and waiting to see what sort of comes up, whether that's something interleague, whether that's something else moving up, or, you know, Hudson and Smith, you know, knocking down doors on the British continent, or some of the New Zealand buddies that they have.
It's a good shout. You know, it's interesting because they can still sign a DP, and that's a big question. They could move a TAM level player to DP and free up some TAM money. One of the things that you mentioned that I wanted to throw in that I kind of just learned today, or I just had refreshed today, since the MLS roster rules are so complicated. You mentioned that Boateng's on a 17,000.
His guaranteed compensation in 2017 was $341K.
Which he may have been paid down at some point, TAM, since if you have it, you might as well spend it in order to... Most of the TAM money, except for the new discretionary TAM, is literally cash from the league. It's money that you don't have to raise as your own club. But in the event that you want to use that on another player down the road, you can use GAM on players that are below the threshold for DP, for TAM level players. So not to get too much into the weeds, but those are players that come between 150 and a million, and GAM has a little bit of a wider spread. I think you can use it on basically any rostered player. So anyways, if they wanted to, they could pay Nana in GAM, free up some TAM if they had some from it. Anyways, it's all really interesting. I think, you know, it's a big black box. It does feel a lot like there is wiggle room in the Rapids roster, both between discretionary TAM, current TAM, the DP slot, and then this really wonderful and really weird rule, which is about being able to trade for what has been referred to by some as FTAM or FTAM, which is you can make deals with other teams in the league for future considerations of GAM or future considerations of TAM. So the Rapids are mid-season, desperately in need of $200,000 in order to sign some Swedish midfielder who's just ripping it up. They could make a deal with DC United where DC United gives them money now and the Rapids give them money later. It's weird and it's wonderful, and Lord, I hope they simplify this sometime before my grandchildren are born.
I'll trade you some Kugel that your wife makes this weekend, Mark, for some future considerations for TAM in 2035.
Fantastic. And the birthright to my third grandchild.
I'm not going to go that far. I guess just one other thing to add on the TAM front there, Mark. I know, you know, TAM was introduced in July in 2015. I think, you know, we refer to the DP rule sometimes as the David Beckham rule. I think we can call that announcement from Major League Soccer the Giovanni Dos Santos rule on this one. So that TAM for 2015 was just for 2015. There was a new installment with the $800K in 2016, 2017. And then if that was unused in 2017, it went back to the league. So there's no old TAM from last year that the Rapids potentially didn't spend that's available now. For the purposes of talking in 2018, we're only talking about the $1.2 million that's available to them, plus the $2.8 of discretionary, and then the same thing for 2019. Clubs do have the ability to allocate but not spend 2019 TAM in 2018. So if the Rapids wanted to sign a striker in the summer and then make them a TAM signing, they could use 2018 TAM right then for the salary, and then they could allocate TAM for 2019 for that player's salary in 2019, but they couldn't spend $2.4 million in the given TAM all in 2018. So all of these numbers are just assuming what they have in 2018, and I think, you know, inevitably when player salaries come out for the start of the year, we'll revisit this with a topic and look at how much is Jack Price making, what did that mean in terms of the TAM that was used on him, did Eigner get a raise, you know, where are Tommy Smith and Danny Wilson. That'll be another really interesting topic that I think will make the black box a little bit more visible, so to speak. Mark, do we want to move on to a topic that we've both discussed and I think want to have an open conversation about, that the Rapids are maybe going full Moneyball analytics?
Yeah, I mean, so that was, I think it's an obvious transition from what we've been talking about, which is like, so how do you maximize your dollars? So for anybody who has gone out and seen the movie Moneyball, which is about the Oakland A's in the early 2000s and before then, or if you've read the book, which I highly recommend. Matt and I were both kind of baseball guys, I think, before we were even soccer guys. And the basic question of the Oakland A's in those days was, we can't compete with the Yankees or the Red Sox or the Dodgers or the Giants. We don't have the money. So how do you compete on an uneven playing field? And the effective point that was made was market inefficiencies. The understanding both from an economics perspective, from a statistics perspective, and from a business perspective, that stupid teams throw bad money after bad money, and they do it because they don't evaluate things properly. They make decisions based on what a player looks like or what they think they need, or a statistic that is really stupid, right? Like in baseball, the classic stupid statistics are batting average and wins and losses for pitchers, neither of which are particularly descriptive of actual events that take place. So without spoiling the movie, which you should go see, it's a really good movie, with that handsome little dude Brad Pitt. The basic idea is you go and search out a statistic that nobody's ever thought of as relevant, and you put your money into that. Back then, it was on base percentage, which people didn't value. And it was things like walks, which people didn't value. And in baseball numbers, those were undervalued. And the other thing that was undervalued was certain positions. People said, well, catchers can't hit, so let's not waste our time spending money on catcher. And so 31 baseball teams in Major League Baseball are not putting their energy into certain areas, and the other teams, that other team has a chance to kind of jump in and do something big. All right, how does this all relate to the Rapids? Well, I'll tell you, dear listener. The Rapids under Park Smith have to deal with the same inefficiencies. One of the sad facts that we as Colorado Rapids fans, because Matt and I are fans as much as we are writers, we wouldn't care about this team so irrationally if we just wrote about it dispassionately. Ooh, that should go on a bumper sticker. Matt, write that down. We care about this team, we love this team, and there's a reality to this team that's kind of frustrating, but we're coming to grips with it, which is, sure, we have a billionaire owner who's worth literally $3 billion and who owns four other professional sports teams. But we're not operated like a team that's owned by a billionaire. We're not the Galaxy. We're not the Red Bulls. We're not NYCFC. And so we're not going to get a $7 million DP. It's just not how the team operates. We're not going to get three $7 million DPs. We're never going to get a Kaká or Cristiano Ronaldo. It's just not going to happen. So the Rapids have to operate on what's called Moneyball, which is this principle that you make smart decisions that are cheap as opposed to expensive decisions that might win you a championship. So what does that mean for soccer? Here's the payoff for this long explanation, right? First of all, you're exploiting inefficiencies in the market. Second of all, you're using statistics instead of scouting. You still scout, but you need to use metrics and numbers to define things. So a couple years ago, I talked to Porik in an interview, and he talked about how every player for the Rapids at each position is evaluated on 12 statistics that they think describes what they want out of that position. The most important person that the Rapids signed in the offseason is Ina Patel. Let me repeat that because you've never heard of this woman. Ina Patel is this woman who, and this other guy, Fran Taylor, are these two people who came out of statistics, business, analytics, and marketing. They're not players. They're not going to suit up for the Rapids and score 15 goals. But they're able to look at math in a way that might find things about the Rapids. That's a really important thing. All right. So what are a couple of things that you need to know about the way the Rapids are approaching things? Number one, based on the book Soccernomics and every other person you'll ever talk to in soccer, strikers are the most expensive position to buy. So even though before I was saying that I was panicking about the fact that the Rapids did not go out and buy a striker on the free agent market, I more or less agree with Matt, which is we should be patient, one. And two, you're much better off trolling in the super draft or under your homegrowns or buying or trading with Gam and Tam a player in the league who's a striker than you are blowing millions of dollars on a DP striker who might not work out. Hashtag Gabby Torres, right? strikers are really expensive and you're overpaying for them. And yeah, maybe you'll find an amazing one like Ola Kamara, but just as likely you'll wind up with Juan Ramirez or some other bust for the Rapids. So maybe you don't buy striker if you're a cheap, low budget team like the Rapids. Number two, another orthodoxy right now in MLS is South America is where you go and buy talented skill players at the number 10 or number 9 or at the wings. Or maybe you go to Central America if you're a little bit cheap. So if that's the orthodoxy in MLS and you're a Moneyball team, you think, let's not go to South America because we can't afford it. We're going to wind up overpaying for the next Miguel Almiron or the next Ezequiel Barco. We can't afford that guy, so we're not going to try, right? And number three, orthodoxy in MLS, is you're going to pay a transfer fee. So the Rapids have bucked all three of these trends, and then I'll shut up, and Matt, you can tell me whether I'm going off half-cocked or not, have bucked all three of these trends in the transfer window. You might hate it, dear listener, and I totally respect that because I'm pulling out what little hair I have about the fact that the Rapids did not spend a lot of money in this transfer window on some big flashy player. I would really like a dribbly number 10. I would love it. We didn't get one. So what did we get? We got a lot of center backs, and most of them came from Scotland, England, or New Zealand. All three of those are really random places that MLS front offices are not looking. All three of those players are at positions that you don't spend a lot of money for. In fact, the Rapids didn't even spend a transfer fee, likely, on at least two of those players. Jack Price probably came on a free from Wolves. And if not, he came for cheap. Everything I saw about Danny Wilson was that he probably came on a free also because they didn't want him at Rangers anymore. He wasn't getting enough minutes. So if you're a Rapids fan, you probably are losing your mind about the last few weeks. But the reality is the team made cheap moves that aren't very dangerous and that made the team better. I don't know that there's a lot to really complain about. There's still probably, as Matt really laid out very well just a minute ago, money left in the till for a big June or July transfer at striker if we don't get the goals we need. I don't know, Matt. Am I crazy?
No, you're not crazy. I'm going to go in a different direction in terms of how I outline what I think, you know, the Rapids 2018 Moneyball plan is. First of all, number one, if you're going into, you know, going back to the Moneyball, the movie and the book analogy, embracing analytics in terms of measuring everything. Horig's been a huge proponent of that. Anthony Hudson has been a huge proponent of that. You know, that was something that I think previous coaching staffs and front offices in the Rapids have not made a big or a significant deal of. So I think that's number one. And Horig at one point even actually said that they used analytics in engaging their coaching staff decisions in terms of what coaches would potentially, what metrics based on their coaching and how their teams played for evaluating the candidates that potentially Hudson, you know, was available. And then I'm going to make two analogies, and I apologize, Rapids fans, for making your eyes roll, given that I'm bringing up two teams who you probably don't care for. First of all, going back to the late 2000s, early 2010s of MLS 2.0, RSL. Why was RSL a Moneyball team in MLS 2.0? They were on a budget, but what did they do really good? They had a really, really good system. Jason Christ was really good at finding diamonds in the rough. They had everybody from their U9s all the way up to their reserve teams running the diamond, and everybody was fit into the system. They signed a bunch of homegrowns. They brought in some cheap players from Central America, and it was literally a plug and chug. Okay, we lose a winger. Who can we fit in that? Who's our underneath striker? And all of those fit in the way such that they were cogs in a machine. You didn't have superior talent, but you had a very good team, including one that beat the LA Galaxy in the 2009 MLS Cup. So, you know, you had a couple really good main pieces, you know, a Kyle Beckerman, an Alvaro Saborillo, a Nick Raimondo, and then everybody was just filling in. You know, they had their island of misfit toys. Second analogy I'm going to make in MLS 3.0, Sporting Kansas City. What does Sporting do really well? They have a really good system. They're really big on fitness. What have the Rapids players been all saying in training right now? Fitness has been a huge deal. They've done a whole lot of running. Even Marlon Hairston's been saying that. They've been embracing their physical offseason regimen and their preseason regimen. What's the other good thing that I think the Rapids need to start doing that Sporting Kansas City does a little bit better? Finding guys that are diamonds in the rough and then also doing a good job of selling them on and reinvesting that money into the club. Correct me if I'm wrong, Mark. I can't remember the last time that the Rapids had a significant outward transfer in which they got a transfer fee that they were then able to reinvest either in the first team or in the academy whatsoever. Say what you will about Peter Vermees and maybe, you know, selling an Uri Rossell who just came back to Major League Soccer, you know, selling a Dom Dwyer, selling one of their significant players maybe a year early without an immediate replacement for that player, but then having a whole bunch of allocation money. You talk about a Moneyball team not being able to spend as much money and needing to be able to get value. What's another thing that they did a really good job in the movie that Sporting Kansas City does a really good job of? Selling high. Don't bring back Jason Giambi as a free agent. You know, sell, you know, if somebody offered, Sporting Kansas City $3 million for Matt Beisler, they'd probably sell Matt Beisler right now. I think that's something the Rapids need to start doing. I think they're starting to do a good job of looking where others aren't and finding value picks. They need to start moving guys on when the good opportunity presents itself that then allows them to reinvest that money in the club.
Yeah, the one thing I'll add to that, and then we'll move on to close the sucker out. Deshaun Brown in 2015 at the very beginning of the season was their big sale. Rumors had it that his transfer fee, which was never disclosed, was in the realm of $3 million. He is certainly above $1.5 million because that was the threshold at which point he goes on to the allocation list. And he was, when he came back to DC, he was on the allocation list. So the Rapids did capitalize twice there. They got money on the transfer fee, and they got money, I believe, because they held his rights to come back into MLS, if I'm not mistaken. But you can tweet at me if I'm wrong.
Let's close this out, Mark. You told me before we started recording that you had a fabulous This Week in Rapids History, and you wouldn't tell me what it is. Me and the listeners are shaking in our boots right now with anticipation.
All right, so last week we did like an echoey kind of like, This Week in Rapids. This week I want to try a theme song, and we're just going to keep playing with this until somebody tells me there's a better way to do this, which is, This Week in Rapids History, Rapids History, oh, Rapids History. You like that, Matt?
It's a good first iteration.
Sure. I think we could work on that. All right, this, not only This Week in Rapids History, but this very day in Rapids History, February 6th, 2000, in Fort Lauderdale, Florida, was the date on which the 2000 Major League Soccer Super Draft was held. The Rapids held the third pick in that Super Draft, and they chose, bum-ba-da-bum, Adeen Brown. Adeen Brown, goalkeeper out of the College of William and Mary. He had a pretty good, solid career. He played about 85 games in Major League Soccer, including, I think, 22 for the Colorado Rapids. He moved on to, geez, can I remember the name of this team? Aalesund in the Norwegian League, and then wrapped up his career debuting with the brand new expansion Portland Timbers. And according to Wikipedia, he's still with the Timbers as a goalkeeper coach in, I think, their academy. But that's not the interesting part, Matt. The interesting part is who they didn't get, because the third pick in the draft went to the Rapids with Adeen Brown. The fourth pick in the draft went to the Chicago Fire. Matt, do you know who they picked?
Chicago Fire, 2000. Tell me, I give up.
Yeah, U.S. men's national team international legend Carlos Bocanegra.
Okay.
So the Rapids were only one off from picking one of the greatest players in Major League Soccer history. And, you know, if you want to go down the rabbit hole a little bit further, the 12th pick in the draft was Bobby Convey, who had a really successful midfield career in Major League Soccer. And Peter Vahenis of the LA Galaxy was the 23rd pick in the second round out of UCLA. So there was other talent there, but, you know, it worked out. We got a decent keeper for one season out of it. So, and that is This Week in Rapids History.
Listeners, you can follow my good co-host Mark Goodman on Twitter at Rapids Rabbi and check out all of his Rapids musings at the Burgundy Wave. You can follow myself, Matt Pollard, on Twitter at LWSMattPollard and check out all of my written work at LastWordOnSoccer.com. You can subscribe to Holding the High Line. We're on a number of different pod platforms right now, including iTunes, Blueberry, Stitcher, and Google Play. We're working on getting on a few others. If we're not where you look for podcasts, feel free to yell at us on Twitter and tell us where you would like us to be. You can follow us on Twitter at Rapids96Podcast. Mark, I'm going to give you the last word on this episode. Any closing thoughts?
I was just going to add, if you're very low tech, you can like flip open your laptop in the car and just stream it right off Last Word on Sports or Burgundy Wave, because we're going to post those also. So if you're kind of like grandma level skills on the internet and you don't understand these podcast things, just stream it in your ear hole. You'll be all right. Yeah, Matt, make sure that you take a couple good pictures of that really weird fabric painting over your head, and I'll see you next week. And I think it's pretty obvious, next week we're going to be going on a CCL palooza. We will be having CCL fever out the wazoo. We will talk about Toronto FC to degrees at which no mortal man has ever discussed Toronto FC.
I don't know if I'd say about that, Mark, but I definitely have a growing rash that is CCL fever, and the only cure for it, I think, is more podcasting. Listeners, we'll see you next time.